To Exodus, the 17th chapter, is where the lesson will begin in just a moment. We'll be getting back to Isaiah in a few minutes. The singing is beautiful. I want to thank Brother Allen for leading those songs. So much so, we're going to sing a couple songs in the middle of my sermon here in just a moment. One of the things that occurs on a day like today is that we're excited about the rest of the week. You're excited because many of you are going to camp. I'm excited because I start vacation tomorrow. And so we focus on a lot of things, and we're here to worship the Almighty God. And so what I'd like to talk about this morning is about faith and about how awesome it is to worship the Almighty God. In Exodus, the 17th chapter, we have an interesting story that occurs with Israel. When you think about God, and I love this picture because you have the fact that the world just fits in His hand, and it reminds me of Isaiah, the 40th chapter that was just read to us. But in Exodus, the 17th chapter, you have a situation here where Israel is so thirsty. And we don't appreciate these stories because, quite frankly, we don't understand this very well, most of us. Some of you may. We get thirsty because we haven't drank in a while, maybe been playing sports, and you get a little bit thirsty. And they've gone a long time without something to drink. And there is nothing to drink anywhere in sight. And there is tremendous dependence upon God. And the only way they're going to get water at this point is going to be from God. And they come across Moses, and ultimately what's going to happen here is, listen, they're going to kill me. Something is going to happen if they don't get water. And these people ask a question in verse 7, and that's sort of leading up to this verse. And this place is going to be named something, because that's what happened in the Old Testament a lot, that means, is the Lord among us or not? How often do we think from that standpoint? Is the Lord among us or not? Now, we ask this, or people ask this a little bit differently today. They ask, is there a God or not? What Israel is asking, is He with us or not? There is a God. Is He with us or not? It's a little different. They believed in a God. They just weren't too sure if He was with them or not. It's a little different than, is there a God or not? But the application needs to be the same. There is a God. Is He with us or not? Was the question that they had. They had a tremendous difficulty when it came to their faith. When it came to whether or not they feared. Have you ever thought about the spies? When they were going to go into the land of Canaan. This land that they had heard of, that had been given to them. This promised land. They knew about Abraham, and he had given it to them. It had been promised to them, and they were being told, we're going to take you to this land. And they are finally about to go into this land, and we're going to send spies into it. And they're going to check out how beautiful this land is. And they send them out into the land, and they come back, and they're so excited to report, and it's so beautiful. This land is so beautiful. And they're sitting down telling them how beautiful this land is, and they say, we have no shot. There is no chance of it. It is gorgeous. The fruit is huge. It has like milk and honey, and we have no chance. They're ginormous people. Their cities are fortified. I mean, we're like grasshoppers to them. It's almost like they could have said, you know, the only chance that we have is like if we walked around their walls and they just fell down. That's the only shot we have. How hilarious is that? That's the only chance that we have. We have no shot. And the people are like, kill Moses. We have no chance. They listen to these 10 spies. And you have these two goofs over in the corner saying, this place is beautiful. It's beautiful. And God has given it to us. We have it. What was the difference? We can walk around these cities and they'll fall down. It was their faith. The difference was, you see in verse 33, you had these men, Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we, Israel, became like grasshoppers in whose sight? Our own sight. And so we were in their sight. That's a fascinating verse, isn't it? We saw ourselves in their sight as grasshoppers. That's how we viewed ourselves. There is no faith, no confidence in that verse. And these are the leaders, brethren, of the people. Caleb and Joshua were the exceptions. Then you have, as you skip over to Joshua, the second chapter, a generation that comes up after this group, led by Joshua, led by Caleb. They send out spies. This is where we're introduced to a lady by the name of Rahab. They go into this city. They're told by Rahab that these people are absolutely afraid of Israel because they had heard about God. In essence, we are like grasshoppers in our own sight because of your God now. And in verse 24, they go back to Joshua and they say, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands and all the inhabitants of the land, moreover, have melted away before us." What was the difference? Faith. Their faith in the Almighty God. And you know what happens? You certainly do. We just sang about it. God, before they walk around this city, tells them, "I have given Jericho into your hands. This is what I want you to do. I want you to walk around these thick walls. I want you to blow the trumpets and they're going to fall down." Joshua and the other ones say, "Psh, got it. Let's go. That sounds brilliant. That's going to work perfectly." As we all would. Who's going to do that? That's faith. That's faith. And the amazing thing about this story to me, brethren, is that in Hebrews, the 11th chapter in verse 30, it says, "By the faith, the walls of Jericho fell down." By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. There's no doubt it's by God the walls of Jericho fell down. But it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down." That's interesting to me. We certainly understand it's by God's power that they fall down. But there is also no doubt that God expects us to have faith. In 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and verse 15, there is a prophet that is there and he's talking to King Jehoshaphat. And he tells them that this battle, this multitude that is before you, I don't want you to worry about. Because this battle belongs to the Lord. This isn't your battle. This is God's battle. Don't worry about it. And you know what happens to that multitude? They are wiped out. That's the difference. It is faith in the Almighty God and understanding what He is able to do. When He says, "You know what I'm going to do for these people? I'm going to send my Son and I'm going to save them from wrath." That's exactly what He has done. But we have to have faith. We have to be obedient unto what He has given us, what He has asked us to do. We also understand in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 13 through 16, there specifically, He's talking from the Jewish and the Gentile standpoint, that we have the opportunity to be reconciled with Him, that He is rich and He is rich in mercy and His grace. Here in context, in verse 13, picking up, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. Becoming one, reconciled to God. And then we can have the opportunity, which is the absolute golden thread from Genesis, when it was taken out of the Garden of Eden, to Revelation, getting back to the Tree of Life. That's the whole point of the Scriptures. The fall of man, getting back to the Tree of Life. We have that opportunity. We're going to sing two songs now. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hopefully you understand why. And we're going to sing after that, Teach Me the Lord to Wait. If you don't understand why, you will. The important part is, hopefully you have been the whole time we've been singing, and not just today, always, is that you understand the words to the songs. Pay attention to the words of the song. This time I've asked Alan, if you would, to come up and lead these songs.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. No, so teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, let me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed, my eyes on thee. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Thank you. Hopefully we understand as we sing, the battle belongs to the Lord, that we're not in this alone. But sometimes we go through things and we bow our heads and we try to give him our burdens. And as 1 Peter the 5th chapter verses 6 and 7 says, we need to do that. And we understand as the Peter tells us there, beginning in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. We talked about this here, actually last week. One of the most, or what can be a difficult thing, is giving him our burdens. Is letting him help us with those burdens sometimes. And what can be even more of a difficult thing is not trying to take them back. When you give him a burden, is not making sure he's doing his job with that burden. Not checking in on him every once in a while to make sure he's doing his part. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Patience is an interesting part of it, isn't it? Trying to figure out what God's trying to teach me when we're going through difficulties and those burdens that we may have. Trying to learn faith. I imagine as those Israelites are walking around that wilderness looking for water, what are we doing? Makes it a little bit easier to understand, Moses, why did you bring us out here? Were there not enough tombs and graves in Egypt? It's a little bit easier to understand. Why are we walking around these walls? Why is this noise going to walk down or knock down these walls? All the different thoughts that we can have. When he says to us, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety upon him. And if you stop there, you may say, why would I do that? And he tells you why. Because he cares for you. That's why. Teach me, Lord, to wait. What it ultimately comes down to is this relationship that the Almighty God wants to have with us. It's a tremendous thing to have a relationship with one another. That's one of the things I love traveling around the country, and hopefully people like to come to this area as well, that you get to meet people, perhaps that you see once a year, perhaps that you're just meeting for the first time. And as Acts, the second chapter, says, right off the bat, you have all things in common. Just because we are all children of God. That's all. You might be Pittsburgh Steelers fans in the great Cincinnati area. That's okay. One of my greatest friends is. It doesn't matter. We can have all things in common because we're children of God. And the understanding that even beyond that, that the Almighty God wants to have a relationship with us, each and every one of us as individuals, is beyond me. Knowing what I have done in my life, knowing that I'm the reason why He sent His Son to die, and you're the reason why He sent His Son to die. And that's why I always think of 2 Timothy, the first chapter, as Paul is writing, really, his last book on this earth that we know of, inspired book anyway. And he knows it. And he is writing to the young preacher Timothy, and you just really just telling him to keep on keeping on, basically. Telling him, I have fought the fight. I'm going home, and I want you to keep going. That's what he's telling him in this book. And you imagine, as he is telling him these things, one of the things that's going to come up to his mind, he's going to say, why are you willing to go through this? And I think he tells him that in verse 12. He's going to tell him why. And it's the same thing that we are willing to do. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things, for I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he will guard, that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I know whom I believe. I know. That's why. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Why are we able to do these things? Why can I have faith? Why are we willing to go through the things that we go through? Because I know who I believe in. And I pray we all can say that. That's why we're able to say things or have the confidence, as 1 John, the second chapter, not to take the time to read the whole thing, but as verse 25 says, that we know that we have been promised eternal life. We have been promised eternal life. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, you are blessed to be called what? Children of God. We are children of God. There is nothing better than to say that. You are a child of God. I encourage you every day to make sure that you remind yourself of that. You are a child of God, if you are. You are a child of God. Your parents may tell you, young people, never forget who you are. My dad used to say that, it just drive me nuts. Never forget who you are. It's like, I'm Scott Taylor. Never forget who you are. What that means is, don't forget what your last name is, can you say? It's not just you, but don't you forget that you are a child of God and what that means. Good, that you have all the eternal blessings and what that means, the spiritual blessings, but the consequences if you don't live up to that. You are a child of God. Don't forget it. There is nothing better than that. Isaiah, we'll close with Isaiah, the 40th chapter. It's a tremendous spiritual renewal in the remnant that was talked about in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, talking about the Israel and what's going on. So we make application from a spiritual perspective. In verse 31, he says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." I pray that we all can say amen to that. That we are talking about ourselves. That we are waiting upon the Lord, that we have this faith that we have talked about this morning. That no matter what we go through today, this week, Lord willing, this year, the rest of our lives, that we are better each and every day because we are children of God. And we are letting our light shine, and then we can hear the wonderful words, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Not only because we can sing praises to the Almighty God here on earth, that we can spend eternity with Him, worshiping Him for eternity. There's nothing better. So the question is, are you ready? You don't have to take out a songbook at this point. It'll be behind me. If you have not obeyed the gospel, now is the time. By the grace and mercy and love, you have the opportunity right now. There is no bigger decision that all of us are going to have to make. People that go here know this. The invitation, when we offer the invitation, a lot of times tradition tells us that that's only for the people that haven't obeyed the gospel. That's nonsense. That's for everybody. We all answer the invitation right now. Because we all have to decide right now whether or not I'm right with Him. Every time. All of us will. Every single one of us. And it's something that we all have to figure out. Am I living for God now? Right now. And we have a lot of things that go on in our lives. But there is no bigger decision that you are going to make. And there is nowhere more important than where you're going to spend eternity. Nowhere. And that decision needs to be made now. And if we can help you, we would love that opportunity. Last week, we were blessed to watch Tristan come forward and obey the gospel. And to understand the rejoicing that goes on in heaven of the angels, because they understand the value of a soul. And what it means if somebody loses their soul. And I pray that we understand that. The value of a soul that is lost and a value of a soul that is gained. And what is at stake for each and every one of us. By the grace and mercy and love, we have the opportunity right now to make sure that we are right with Him. If you need to obey the gospel, do not wait. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm here to tell you He is the Son of God. And He died for you, and He died for me. You need to repent of the sins that you have committed, that put Him on the cross. Confess Him as the Almighty Lord that He is. Be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Now's the time. If there's anything that we can do for you, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with Him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet at
the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. Give your idols up. Look unto round above. Turn not again to life's sparkling cup. Trust always in. Kneel at the cross.